Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. It's the gospel for today that takes us prayerfully into the meditation. Words of that will be repeated throughout the message, but for now, I just invite you to familiarize yourself with it once more in the bulletin and to bow your head and heart with me for a word of prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In that Redeemer Jesus Christ, dear fellow saints of the Most High God, on this second Sunday in Lent, Raymond Asare Sunday, which translated from the Latin means remember me, and we would probably add, O Lord, I want you to remember a ways back about the controversy over President Obama's birth. Why is that important to us today? Well, simply because of the analogy. The place, the circumstances of President Obama's birth would have a bearing on whether or not he was allowed to become our president. For a child is born not only into a family, but also into a community, a people, a nation. That's where the child belongs. And it's where that child finds love and security and acceptance. Jesus says that in order to be part of God's people, God's family, you and I must be born again, to use the King James words. If you're to belong to God's kingdom, to live in His love, to enjoy His security and acceptance, you must be born again. Well, where's the evidence of that rebirth? How can you and I be sure that we're part of God's kingdom? Where's our birth certificate, so to speak? For using the wrong certification for assurance can cause self-righteousness, doubt, despair on our part. In our text, Jesus gives us the answer. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he says. Baptism is our assurance that we belong to God's family and are in God's kingdom. Now, you could try to look elsewhere to assure yourself that you belong to God's family, to assure yourself that you belong here on earth, or where you belong here on earth. You could look at your birth certificate, your adoption papers. These certify your family, community, nation. And by reading them, you know where you belong and to whom you belong. So to assure yourself that you belong in God's family and kingdom, you could look, like Nicodemus did, to your biological ancestry. See, in Old Testament times, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were the earthly manifestation of God's kingdom. And Nicodemus understood this. In fact, he was a teacher of Israel, Jesus calls him, and he probably assumed that he was already part of God's kingdom. The words of Jesus understandably confused him. We hear him say in verse 4, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answers, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Jesus makes it plain that you can't come into the kingdom just through ancestry. And that's good news for us, because according to the Old Testament, most of us would have the wrong ancestor to begin with. So there's no assurance in making or looking to your biological background. To assure yourself that you belong to God's kingdom and family, you could look to your own efforts, your decisions, your actions and commitments to see whether you behave as if you belong in the family. The trouble here is that you can never know whether you've done enough or done it well enough. And if you've convinced yourself that you have, then it's my sad duty to inform you that you're undoubtedly self-righteous. Honestly, you're not good enough for God's family. Neither am I. Neither is anyone else. To assure yourself that you belong in God's family and kingdom, you could try to read God's hidden mind. As Jesus talks about the wind and the spirit and spiritual things, in order to assure yourself, you might look to evidence of his favor in your worldly fortunes, your wealth, your health, your status, and other things may all be signs to you, or used as signs by you, of God's favor to you. But no level of these could ever make you certain that God accepts you. And then there's always the danger, of being overcome by doubt and unbelief when health concerns, when wealth is spent, when status is lost. So if by now you're sure, along with me, that your life cannot possibly convince you you're in God's kingdom or family, I beg you, don't despair, because there's assurance of belonging to God that doesn't depend on you. It's called the gospel in the nutshell, John 3:16 in our text, familiar to us all. Pastor shared it at the beginning of today's service. It assures us that it's God's action, that he's taken all the actions necessary to give you and me a place in his family and kingdom. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. God became the man Jesus in order to accomplish the salvation of us all. The Old Testament kingdom of God, Abraham's biological descendants, were used by God for the purpose of Jesus's incarnation. To be truly incarnate, Jesus had to be born into a family, a community, a people, a nation. But his work of salvation is nevertheless for the whole world. His work of salvation opens God's kingdom to everyone. Jesus was lifted up on the cross because of and for the sins of the world. In verse 14, we hear him say, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." That sin was like snake venom that infected the whole world, robbing it of life, making it dead, undesirable, loathsome to a holy God. And just as the snake-bitten Israelites in the desert couldn't escape death by making themselves unbitten, so the sinful people of this world cannot escape eternal death by making themselves unsinful. It's Jesus who poured out his life's blood as the anti-venom that takes away the sin of the world. And with the poison of sin gone, the gates of God's kingdom are now open to you and me. The assurance that the gates are open is the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead. Unlike that bronze serpent that Moses made and lifted up in the wilderness for all to look upon, the one we look to, Jesus, is alive. And his resurrection means that the earthly mission of his incarnation has been accomplished. Now there's life for everyone who believes in him. And the assurance of this gospel, in a nutshell, is that the gospel has come to us in a scallop shell, if you will. I was looking for a picture of it, couldn't find it, but a silver scallop shell. We had one up in Grand Haven that we used from time to time to apply the water to a person's head in baptism. You see, it's one thing to know that the gates of the kingdom are open and that God is bringing people in. It's quite another thing to know that they're open for you and that you have been brought in. The gospel is not that God has a family. The gospel is that God has made you a part of his family. You do indeed belong to him and his kingdom. In speaking to Nicodemus, Jesus said you must be born again. Anew in the NIV, literally in the Greek, from above. Through baptism, you're born into God's family, God's community, God's people, God's nation, by God's action. It's a washing of rebirth and regeneration, as Paul tells Titus in the epistle to him. You're born of water and the Spirit. And just as a father puts his name on his child, so God puts his name on you in your baptism. And as you belong to the nation of your parents, so through baptism you belong to your heavenly Father's kingdom. Your baptism is your assurance that you belong in God, or to God's family, and that you're in his kingdom. When you're baptized, you were baptized, as Paul says in Romans 6, into the death and resurrection of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that means that when you were baptized, God was doing what he promised to do, forgiving your sins, rescuing you from sin or death and the devil, and giving you eternal salvation by giving you his Holy Spirit as a guarantee. It's because God is faithful in his promises, and it's because God was working out those promises and applying them to you in your baptism, that you can look to your baptism as the assurance that you belong to your heavenly Father, that you're in his family, that he has adopted you and set a place for you in his eternal kingdom. As Luther once said, as long as your head is connected to your shoulders and the waters of holy baptism have been placed and applied to your head, you can know that you are God's child, for he has made you so by his action in and upon your heart and life. There's no controversy, no question about your being born into the family, the community, the people, the nation, the kingdom of God. And that's why people of faith run to the font and bring their loved ones along with them from little on up, so that God's promises can be applied to them, so that what God has done for them can be theirs forevermore, that his Spirit and power can be imparted to them. By your baptism, your Lord's suffering, death, and resurrection have been applied to your head, your heart, your life, your eternity. By that gospel in a nutshell, that gospel in a scallop shell, if you will, all Jesus has done is given and granted to you. Just don't run away from home. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.